In Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 9, if you'd like to turn there. And if you don't have a Bible, there are some on the table in the back with the Gideon. So while you're turning to Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to turn back to the book of Luke and read from chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. What was the experience of Jesus is also to be the experience to a degree of the children in the Christian home. To be obedient to the parents. And if Jesus, the Son of God, took that responsibility, he was obedient to his parents and grew in stature and in wisdom with men and with God. I'd like to consider this passage in Ephesians chapter 6. I know that you've gotten tired of thinking about husbands and wives, so we're moving on to the children, but we're staying in the home. And we're just going to walk down through this a little bit today. Children, in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Father, as we come to this passage now, Christian homes are so essential in our world today. We need help. However, our families are extended and distributed through many communities. We do pray that you would establish them in your word, that it might have a powerful effect in our world today. In Jesus' name. So the first phrase that we'd spend some time on as children, obey. There were some snowbirds that went down to Arizona for a period of time during the winter. They took their dog with them. And many people take their dogs in their travels down to Arizona for the summer months, for the winter months. And they are the snowbirds that raised the population of Arizona quite significantly. But this particular dog, they felt they needed to train because he wasn't obedient, and out there on the desert, they liked to walk the paths and go out and just explore. And other people with their dogs had taken them to obedience school so that they could learn the dangers of the desert and avoid them. Well, this couple took their dog and left him in the obedience school, and after a period of time, they went back to get him. And they were met by the instructor who said, "This is really a stupid dog." We could not teach him. And when we tried to train him to avoid rattlesnakes, his curiosity overruled our commands. Well, that created a problem he had to be taken care of differently than just letting run free, because he didn't learn to obey and to know what was dangerous and what was not. If you're going to follow in the sheet in the bulletin, you notice the dangers of the desert this dog had to deal with is similar to the world. The world is a dangerous place. If we love our kids, if we love our grandkids, and you know, I kind of blundered. Confession's good for the soul. I was with a group of folks the other day, and we were talking about things that happen with the grade school kids and things they're facing that I never had to face. And even raising our kids, they didn't have to face it. I made the comment, I'm glad our kids are grown and gone. I don't have kids at home anymore. And they said, and I felt about this high when they said it, you have a whole community of kids. Oh yeah, we do. My kids are gone. My kids are grown. But we have a whole community of kids. And if we love our kids, we will want them to know how to avoid the dangers in this world. We'll want them to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. There are three things that I would like to refer to, just to point out, just to remind us of the dangers in this world. And without itemizing things, I mean, we could be here more than a day, probably, just itemizing the things that are going on in our world that are touching the kids. And little kids are aware of these things. But just three that are in the Bible. The way of the world is rebellion. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, it tells us sin is lawlessness. If you have no laws, if you have no boundaries, then you're going to find the rattlesnake and get it, so to speak. In Romans chapter 1, let's see. It tells us that God lets people go their own way, and that way is destruction. I'd like to read this to you rather than have everyone, if you can find it quickly, go ahead, but Romans chapter 1. At verse 28 it says, furthermore, since they, people in the world, did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. What was in there? Boy, there's pretty vile stuff that could be done in that section. And what's one of the worst? Disobeying parents. You believe it? And they make up a list of the things going wrong in the world. They include disobedience to parents. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. that in the last days there will be terrible times. That passage starts this way, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. There it is again. Disobedient to parents. So when we read in Ephesians, it's confronting a real problem. We might say this is worse now than it was back in Paul's day, but we don't know that. We don't know when he wrote disobedient to parents, how that stood out along and among these lists. Disobedience to parents is destructive. And so he says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And by that, we might think about what is right. It's according to God's design. God designed it this way. God designed the whole family orderly. So wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, out of reverence for Christ, you submit to others. But children, pinpoint you, obey. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, because it's His design. Obedience is what He designed you to do. Now, when the Apostle Paul wrote this, he assumed something. And so we can't just toss this out as a blanket sermon for everyone to obey. He was writing to Christian people. He was writing to those he could assume trusted in the Lord, were following the Lord, because he was writing to the church in Ephesus, and it was to be read also in Laodicea, another church, another group of believers. And he was telling them, parents, you do your thing, and you teach your children to obey. Establishing a Christian home is essential. It's a spiritual task. And it's fun to see it happen. When Kathy and I were up in Meade, Washington, and pastored the little Meade Community Church, there was a couple that had a baby, Gene and Tricia Stevens. And Tricia was attending the church. Gene was not. But she let me know they would like to have a baby dedication. And so I visited them at their home, talked about what it was about and what we would do and that sort of thing. And something wasn't setting right with Gene. There was a reason he didn't go to church. He wasn't a believer. But I told him, yes, I would have this baby dedication. And so I prepared the little, we could call it the ceremony. And then I prepared a message, a sermon on family and Christian family. I was going to get him. And we had the ceremony. And wouldn't you know it, it was a really small church. This group right here would be a crowd in that church. And so I got up to give my sermon, and I looked at Gene, and the baby started fussing. So he picked it up, and he went out the back door. Oh, my goodness. The rest of you guys don't need this sermon. My target just went out the door. But I preached it, and what I didn't know, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. After the sermon, I made it to the back. And I went out the door, and Aunt Jean was standing by his car, still holding the baby. So I went up to him, and I shook his hand, and, "Jean, I'm glad we could do this. I'm glad you were here." And he was crying. I wondered, what in the world? Was something wrong with the baby or what? And he said, "I stood against the back door and listened." I didn't know that. But he said, "I just received Christ." Wow! This is God's design. This is what He does. And He created a Christian family. It's great to see. Fun to see it happen. But the responsibility lies on the kids. The responsibility of children is to obey and honor their parents. I'm speaking to people that may know of an incorrigible kid. You don't have to raise your hand if you know one. But sometimes kids, you just can't bend them. You can't steer them. They've taken the wheel and they are going to go their own way. What do we do then? That's it. That's all we do. God can still reach them. God can still work in their hearts. When we can't guide and they don't respond, we can still pray for the kids. I see the order of governing or the order of authority in this way. And I would suggest you lodge it somewhere in your mental notebook. Parents are to teach their kids and they're to guide their kids. If the kids do not respond to parents, their way, what's the way of the world? It's lawlessness, it's rebellion. And they are under the authority of government. If they break our laws of the land, the government will discipline them. Some of us have seen that. And so we have parents as a first line of authority. The government is the second line of authority. And if people, the kids, as young adults, as old adults, wherever they are, resist the government, God is the final authority. That's why we love our kids and want to teach them to follow the Lord. We want them to obey because we don't want them to stand before the Lord and have Him judge them at the great white throne judgment. Away from me, you workers of iniquity. Judgment will come if the authority is ignored. But we can pray. We can pray. So fathers, it says first of all here, fathers, do not exasperate your kids, your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers and parents and grandparents, train your children. Do not exasperate them or cause them to give up. Some translations of fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, that anger and thinking, it's no use, I give up. I have a bit to say there, but I'm going to skip it. Raising children is a big job. But the Bible gives us hope. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. And if kids are a gift from God, then we have a stewardship, but He loves them more than we do. He cares for them. Malachi in the Old Testament, chapter 2 and verse 15. Has not the Lord made them one, the father, the mother? husband, wife, has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. There have been a couple ways of understanding that verse. You know, it sounds funny if we go to an interlinear Bible and look it up, and what the Hebrew translates right across to, it says, train up a child in the way he should, or no, train up a child in the mouth of his way. What does that mean? Ken Ham at Answers in Genesis has given an illustration of training a baby to eat, and eat baby food rather than just milk. And so in order to train them in the mouth of their way, he understood, and it's possible to interpret it this way, that you begin giving them a taste of some food. Perhaps it's, what's a baby food? Peas. Okay, so you want them to eat peas. So you take a little bit and you start training their mouth to accept that. And pretty soon, oh, that tastes pretty good. It's different than milk. Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. And training them up so that they begin eating solid food. In my devotion, morning and evening with C.H. Spurgeon, he had a different take on it. And it's older. What Ken Ham said started as a baby, training the baby. And Spurgeon said that this applied to a child, training up a child in the way he should go, in the mouth of his way. And when he is prepared and he's schooled and he's coming to the mouth of his way, is, and I pictured it as I read it, as to the door of their home, I pictured it though as the mouth of a cave, and looking out over the world, and train him according to the way he will go. And so he has all the training to support himself, to understand what the world's made of, to know the dangers, the joys of it, but you bring him to that point and you say, go for it. When he is old, he will not turn from it. That's not too big a task, is it? You did it? Turned out fine? You know, Kathy and I were talking the other day, and we thought, when our kids were, we had a couple that were preschool and we had a couple that were older, 5 and 6 years older, and they were getting to be a pain in the neck. And we thought, you know, there will be a time when these kids leave home. They weren't always a pain in the neck, just that day. And they are going to leave home. And then we won't have any problems anymore. Why do you laugh? It doesn't work that way, does it? Because now that they're older, they have different kinds of things going on and different kinds of problems. And we live with our children's choices. Have you found that? Yeah. So, we are in a position, and many of you, most of you are in a position, that you're grandparents. Grandparents must support the parents as they teach the children. I don't have a bone to pick with anybody, but I have seen kids who feel that there is a competition between grandparents and parents. And if parents say no, if grandparents are near enough, they can get permission from their grandparents. It happens with husbands and wives, doesn't it? A kid comes and asks, "Dad, can I go over to do this?" He says, "I don't see anything wrong with that. Go ahead." When he should say, "What did your mother say?" Because playing one against the other happens a lot at home. And grandparents, many of us now, we need to take this responsibly and accept what God would have us do. And it's not to counteract something that maybe we think the parents are being too harsh with the kids, and so we'll soften them up. We really need to consider supporting the parents. When they've set a boundary, don't say it's okay to cross it. Be careful with the way the kids are raised. We live in a very permissive society. And if parents are trying to rein in the kids and set maybe stricter boundaries than you and I would, we need to honor that. Support them. You good with that? The passage goes on and talks about slaves and masters. And just let me say, we don't have slaves today, or we hope we don't. There are things, the slave trade, the kidnappings and things going on. But in the context of this, most of the slaves were household slaves for various reasons. Won't go into that either. But the thing that I'd like to point out is the slaves, could we call them employees, were to work in order to please the Lord. We're still called to that. The masters were to handle their homes and treat their slaves without threatening because they were under a master. And just as husbands are under the authority of God, wives are under the authority of God, and submissive to their husbands to honor the Lord. And children are to obey their parents in the Lord. Workers, employees, slaves are to honor the Lord with their work. And masters and bosses, similarly. The Christian home. It's very, very, very important. God designed it. God enables parents to live it. God helps children to hear and comprehend as they age, as they grow older. And God wants to produce godly offspring in our families, our extended family. Where do you fit in this? Where do you fit in supporting Christian homes? Are you a Christian? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior? That Jesus died for you? That He desires to give you new life? Forgive your sin? Bring you into a right relationship with God. Would you bow before Him? A lot of submission going on in these passages, but the greatest is to submit ourselves to God. If you're uncertain, if you've done this before, I was 9 years old when I prayed a prayer. "Lord, I don't know if I've done this before." I was raised in a Christian home. I can remember praying with my parents at bedtime and so on. I remember a time that they were very happy that I prayed whatever I said, and I didn't remember what I said. But at 9 years old, I prayed, "I don't know if I've done this before, but I ask You to come into my life and forgive me. I want to be a child of God. I want to go to heaven, but I want to live peace with God ever since. But it's all right to say, I don't know if I've done this before, but I want to be sure. So I would encourage you to be sure this morning. Before you go, and be at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we have that hope, peace and reconciliation, having a God that desires that we be with him, desires that we live for him here. And Lord, we have a lot of kids in the community that aren't ours biologically, but by association we get to know them and love them. And we pray for wisdom in relating to the children. Some of them are young adults, but we pray that you'd work in our community, work in our homes for your glory. In Jesus' name.